Today is a good day. It's a day the Lord has made. And we rejoice in it. Amen. Such a big privilege for me to stand before you to share the word of God. Our senior pastor is not in town today. He's out of the country. As you can see, I've got his microphone. He'll be ministering today in the United States at a church called Grace Family Church. This is in Vinton, Virginia. That's where he'll be ministering today. Those of you that know the time difference, I don't know whether he's a red minister or he will be ministering. He can tell me there. Don't worry, he's ministering anyway. And he has sent greetings to all of us. Amen. So we pray for him that we see the hand of God upon his life and we continue to see the hand of God upon his life. It's wonderful. Today, I want to invite you to turn to your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. I would like to invite you to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. I will believe you'll be blessed. Just put your finger there. And then let's interact. Look at me. I believe you'll be blessed by today's words, just as I have been blessed. You know, before the Lord speaks to somebody through you, he will first speak to you. If I speak to you messages that bring tears in your eyes, you just know that I shed mine before I came. If I preach a message that will make you laugh on top of your lungs, that means I have laughed out there before coming here. If I preach a message that will make you dance, I've already danced. If I do here, I'm just giving you a company. Hallelujah. Because God will speak to you before he speaks to the people that you want to speak to. It is about his word anyway. It's not about me. It's not about anybody. If I stood here to give you my own wisdom, no matter how sweet or wonderful it can be, no matter how eloquent I can be, Apostle Paul says, when I came to you, I did not come with enticing words. My ministry to you was not with the words of eloquence, but by the demonstration of the power and the spirit. That's what matters at the end of the day. Amen. Now before we proceed reading from the book that I ask you to open, just let me give you a short story. A young couple. When we say young couple, that means it's not too long ago that they have been in a relationship, a marital relationship, isn't it? It's a young couple. Or it also means they're relatively young in age. We're living in a house and God blessed them so much. I know Francis and Rachel will be going into that world. Hallelujah. They were standing there a few days from now. I'll be doing their wedding right here. I like doing weddings, you know. I just like doing them. You know the reason I like doing weddings? There are two things that are at extreme that I do. I do funerals, and I do a lot of funerals. And I do weddings, and I do a lot of weddings. A funeral is a very hard nut to crack. Faces are running, and emotions are high, and I get emotional as well. I'm a human being. It's not easy to do a funeral sermon. I do weddings, but weddings, my goodness, I take my time. You know why I like doing weddings? Because the atmosphere is so wonderful. The colors, the flowers, everybody just, my goodness. You look at this young woman as if she's never done anything wrong in her life. And this young man, as if he is coming from heaven to bar and then he's going back. I like it. I'm with them. I do the wedding. And above all, I like the dancing. There is so much dancing that goes on when there is a wedding. So I like it. And so I'm sure Francis and Rachel, I'll be joining them, you know. But let me come back to the story. They got married and God blessed them with a flat where they were living, and it was a wonderful time. Suddenly, as God continued blessing them, they began to build their house, their dream house, where they're going to live. They built such a mansion. Beautiful. Not only was it a mansion big in size, but it was just beautiful. It was classic. How many people know that we've got mansions in Lusaka? You walk and say, are the people living here or is it a lodge? And what shocks me, you see the fellows that are walking out of that thing. Small guys, just young guys walking out of it. Are these the owners? Oh yes, they are. My goodness, you look at them. Driving very, very expensive vehicles, Porsche. Are they the owners of this thing? My goodness. Yeah, they are the ones. So they built theirs. And the young lady comes to the wife and say, honey, it's about to shift from this building to the mansion that we built. Huh? I expected women to say amen. How many people know that it blesses mothers? Honey, we are shifting to the new mansion that I've built just for you. Here's the thing. When we shift, we're not going to carry anything. Everything will remain in the old house. The furniture, the stove, the fridge, the cars that we're driving now. Hallelujah! Young ladies, I'm not saying you go and begin to dream about that. You're going to make this man choke. So including your old handbags, they're going to remain here. I don't want to go into a new place with the junk. And the lady said, pats on the back of the man and say, you've got it. And the guys left the mansion, just the two of them. The place they were going into had everything. The handbags were already placed where they're supposed to be. Shoes. Suits. I like new suits. Everything was there. They simply walked in. Shh. Everything is there. Stayed there. I like new. It's not like, you know, sometimes these days I get confused. I hear somebody, oh bro, I've just bought a new car. I'll come back to the story. I like new things. That's the emphasis I'm trying to. And it's not like these days where a person will come to you, hey bro, I've just bought a new car. You know, I'm a fan of cars. I just admire cars. When I was young, this is a true story, I would stand by the roadside, especially during holidays, I would stand by the roadside, just with a small piece of paper and a pencil, and begin to count vehicles. 1, 2, 3. I'll be counting them. And each vehicle that passes by, I'm not just counting them. I'm writing the make of the vehicle as well. Oh, that's a Toyota. Oh, that's a Nissan. That's a Ford. Oh, that's a Nissan Cedric. Oh, Toyota Camry. Oh, Raider. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a Toyota Corsa. I would mention all these and I would be writing them. At the end of 20 minutes, I would give myself time. I said, maybe at the end of 20 minutes, I need to make statistics. And at the end of those minutes, I would sit down and say, how many Toyotas passed by here? How many Nissans passed by here? And I would do all that, and then at the end, I would say, you know what? The people seem to be buying a lot of Toyotas than any other vehicle. That had nothing to do with anybody else but myself. To satisfy myself, I've counted the car. And so now this is when you come to me and say, bro, I've bought a new car. Guess what? I'll be the first one to run to that car. because I want to see it. I just like cars. And for sure, when you are coming, you see in front crystal lights. I say, wow, it must be a new car. You look at the paint, it's glittering, silver green, silver white, it's beautiful. Yellow. Oh my goodness. And then you go, I like opening the doors, and then you go in the seat there, you sit. You feel the comfort of the car. These guys are making them comfortable. If yours is not comfortable, they are making them comfortable. Go change the seats. They are beautiful. Shh, sit there. I don't just end there. Let me check how many kilometers this thing has covered. 78,000 kilometers. I say, hey, was this car driven from Japan to Lusaka or what? 78 kilometers. How many people know that? It's a pretty distance. Thank God for the Japanese brothers. They know our needs. And then I go at the bottom of the seat belt. That's where they stick. The make and the year, the model of the of that vehicle. Then you say, it was manufactured 10 years ago. It's new. Hallelujah. Let me tell you one thing. The world is crazy about newness. The world is crazy about new things. That's why everything you find on the shelf is described as new. With a new formula. New dental what? Oh, new washing powder. The moment they put the word new, they change the packaging. Guess what else they will do? They will increase the price. Because everybody is after new. They go buy the new stuff. Even when it has been there. The book of Ecclesiastes said what? Everything under the sun has always been there. It's new. Let's go back to the story. The mansion. When they entered the everything is new. In their master bedroom, the toothbrush were electric. Alas. 2 months down the line, they quarreled. There was a big fight between the two guys. They fought. And the woman said, you know what? I'm packing today and I'm out of this new place. It's hopeless, it's useless. Because of the way you're treating me, and I'm out of here. You've been sleeping out ever since we came here. You are a very, very bad man. For sure, the guy had started sleeping out. They ended up at the counselor's place. I do a lot of marriage counseling. And then the counselor stood there and right and asked them a question. And said, hey guys, just what went wrong in the new mansion? Just what went wrong in the new mansion? The guy said, nothing, sir. Nothing of the sort I know. Other than just nagging women, these nagging women in the world of suspicion. And the lady said, yes, sir. I know. The question is, what went wrong? The lady said, I know, sir. And the counselor said, yes, go ahead. And said, two young fellows left an old house. They left every belonging they had into the old house to be auctioned, not to be transported later. They left everything there. They abandoned everything. It was junk. They entered into a new house. But guess what they didn't leave behind? They didn't leave behind their old nature. Went into the house with a new house with an old nature. talking about the vehicles. They will remove certain things in the engine, replace them with the new ones. They will put a new coat of paint on top of it. But when you check, the engine block is old. In Japan, that's not a new car. It's a reconditioned car. A reconditioned car is not new. It is reconditioned. But it is nice to drive. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. But let me tell you one thing. When Jesus Christ saves your life, it's brand new. When Jesus saves your heart, your life, you are a brand new person. The life that you have is a new life. It's not a reconditioned life where they put things here, there. No. And people say, I'm a sinner saved by the grace. No. If Jesus has saved you, you are not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. By the grace of God, you have become the righteousness of God. Let's read the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start from 17. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. That's what old is this? And the new has come. And what new is this? All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. 19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. How many people know that when you are reconciled to God, you can reconcile with man? 21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's look at a few words here in the scripture. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, hallelujah, if anyone is in Christ, what does it mean to us if anyone is in Christ? What the Bible is telling us is that if anyone believes in Christ as the Son of God, if anyone believes that God sent Jesus Christ to come and die for us, if anyone believes and trusts in Jesus Christ and bring their life and give them to the Lord, that means that person is baptized in Jesus. It means that person has died to sin in Jesus. That means that person has been raised with Christ. It means when Jesus is exalted and raised and exalted in heaven, that person is exalted with Jesus Christ. That person is seated with Christ on the heaven place, on the right side of the Father. That's what the term in Christ means. If you have ever gone through that, you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, the Bible says, therefore, you are a brand new person. The kind that has never existed, you are a new person. If you are a new person, therefore, you have a new life. Hallelujah. You are a new life. You are a new life. We need to begin to look at ourselves that way. We need to begin to believe in ourselves that way. If we don't believe in ourselves, if we don't see ourselves in the light of what the Word of God is saying, it will be easier for us to be manipulated. It will be easier for us not to know the difference. It will be easier for us to be swept away. It will be difficult for us to to know that the difference between new life and old life is not described by our geographical location. There are people, because of where they live, the compounds they live, they've limited themselves and they think, that it's only people in Kablonga who can do that. It's not possible for me. Look at where I live. Look at what I wear. Look at what I am. And we begin to describe ourselves that way. As a young man here thought, by leaving the old building, by leaving the old flat and going into this mansion, he's going to live a new life. I left one thing when I was describing the mansion. Everything in that mansion was labeled. It had a label. Either GL, good life, or NL, new life. You seen those TV? GL? LG. Life is good. Let me tell you, my brother, your life will never be new because you have gone into a new house. Your life will only be new in Jesus Christ. When you are in Jesus Christ, he removes the old nature. He gives you the old nature. Because what changes a person from old to new, what determines that is the nature. It's so surprising that this lady, when she was asked, she said, you know what? Old people left the old home and left everything in the old home, but they went into a new home with the old nature. You may leave Lusaka and to go and stay in London. You may leave Lusaka to go and stay in New York. As long as the nature in you is new, what you did in Lusaka, you go do it there. But if I leave anywhere and go anywhere as a new person, what I do here will reflect there. You are a new person. Now, why? What is the importance of us knowing about this new thing? The people that are so excited about knowing, oh no, we are new creatures. Yes, yes, God has done it for us. It's not because we did anything, but by grace. Is given it to us. We are children of God. But I'm wondering, what is the relevance of us knowing and staying in this knowledge of newness, of new life? Is it just to show the people? You know, we go to church, we are brand new people, we are born again people. No! Turn with me to the book of 1 John. You know the Bible says in John chapter 1:12, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in him, in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. Go to the book of 1 John chapter 4. The Bible reads, love has been perfected. 1 John chapter 4 verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in Christ. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. The Message Bible reads this way. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we are free of worry on judgment day. Now, here's the thing. Listen to this. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. Hallelujah. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. That's a big issue. Did Jesus Christ walk on the face of this earth? Answer me. Did he? He did. Did Jesus Christ speak our languages, the language of earth? He did, didn't he? Did Jesus Christ attend the wedding? Probably if he was here, he was going to attend Francis and Rachel's wedding. He went to parties and ate with them. If Jesus Christ was there today, probably he was going to watch TV. Of course, maybe not Isidingo, but he was going to watch one of these. Even Isidingo, how else was he going to know that there is a Isidingo if he had not watched it? Jesus Christ walked on the face of this earth. But when he walked on the face of this earth, what kind of life did he display? What kind of nature did he display? How did people see Jesus Christ? Full of compassion. Full of love. He accommodated sinners. He ate with them. He healed the sick. He went to funerals. He did all these things. But this is not all. The Bible says our standing is identical. The Bible says in the scripture that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "For God made him who knew no sin to be a sin of the world, that the righteousness of God, that we should be called the righteousness of God." The word righteousness means right standing with God. Now you're being taught our standing as Christians, our standing as people that are in Christ, here on earth. That's where we make an impression. When we go to heaven, everybody's going to be the same. We're just going to look, oh, that brother, that sister. Wonderful. Praising God at the same time. Our difference is here on earth. Our relevance is here on earth. That's where we need to make an impression. The song that we were singing earlier on, it says, in our world, I would have changed it and say, in my world, be lifted up. That's how I was singing it. In my world, Lord, be lifted up. In my life, Lord, be lifted up. In my love, Lord, be lifted up. How many people know that each one of us has got a world to reach? Those of you that are accountants, you've got a world to reach. Those of you that are businessmen or women, you have got a world to reach. To reach for Jesus Christ. Those of you that are bankers, you've got your world to reach. Those of you that are pilots, you've got a business. Those of you that are sweepers, cleaners, you've got a world to reach. And those of you that are married, you have got a world to reach. Some of these marriages for believers, yes. Why can't you pray to God and say, Lord, can you make my marriage to be a model for people to emulate? Can anyone come to you and say, hey, what have kept your marriage so long and so well? When I look at your marriage, I really admire, I wish mine was like yours. Can you give me a secret? In our world, our identity, our standing on earth should be identical to Jesus Christ. The way you discipline your children, can your neighbor say, ha, I wish I could give him or her my children to discipline. When you burn with oil, the hand of your child who has made a mistake, that's not the way God disciplines us. In our world, Lord, I lift you up. Where we work, we are bosses, we are managers. And some people, have you heard some places where the boss has been named as lion? Hot iron. I don't know. It may be that, you know, people are just... But it also may be that probably that's the picture displayed to them. I've heard managers that will come down and say, hey, come to my office. Come to my office. You know what you've done? And you know that I can fire you for this? But I want to let you know, I've forgiven you for this. Can you go and reflect on what you're doing? Can you improve on your performance? I love you so much. You know that I appreciate everything you've been doing. You've been working so well all along. But now you've started making mistakes. But you know what? I love you so much. I love you too much to dismiss you. Can you go and reform? And the worker said, I thought I was going to be dismissed. And also there are others. They will parade you in public. And they will shout at you in public. You don't mean anything. They don't care. They just want the world to know that I'm a manager. Oh, brother, you're a child of God, aren't you? In that world, why can't you show Jesus? I've seen accountants that are being dismissed because they've stolen money. And when you follow a thing, oh, he's a believer. What nature is operating there? It's an old nature. But a new nature is what we have. Have the nature of God. The nature which is identical with Christ's nature. You know, when you understand these things so much, when you get to know them so well, it will affect your character. It will affect your behavior. It will affect the way you do things. My brothers and sisters, we haven't just been saved by Christ to be displayed in the unit thing, whatever. Display units. We've been saved to reveal His glory. We are in the marketplace. The stand for Jesus Christ should be flocked by every Jim and Jack. Every person must say, where is Jesus' stand? Because that's where the wonderful products are. There is forgiveness there. There is reconciliation there. There is love there. At the stand of Jesus Christ, there is peace there. There is joy in the Holy Ghost. It is possible to display the life that is in us here on earth. I do understand. You and I drive on the same roads with taxi and minibus drivers. I do understand. You and I belong to the same city where prostitution is on sale. I do understand. Actually, it is a business. I do understand. That you and I belong to the same world where people steal from things that do not belong to them from other people. I do understand we're living in the world of confusion. But guess what? The Bible says the whole creation is groaning, is eagerly waiting for the manifestation of children of God. It may not appear to you yet, but I want to let you know that the creation is waiting for that because the devil knows about it. When we manifest, the whole creation is going to shake. Me? You're not going to. This is a new. This suit is nice, isn't it? But when I appear that day, this is far from it. The glory of God is more. It's glorious than any suit you can think of. My sister, you think you've got wrinkles in your face? My brother, you think you have lost the hair in your head? But that day, when you appear, the world is going to be shocked because of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You are a brand new person. The nature in you is the nature of God. It's so surprising. That while the scripture says creation is groaning and waiting eagerly for the manifestation of children of God, and we are living the family of God, we are living the life of God. We are living our faith. Some people are jumping just to go for the lust of the flesh. You ask him, oh, I used to go to church and our eyes talked. Why did you stop? I know. I say, hey, I wish you knew what you are leaving behind. One day, you're going to admire me when I come in glory. But you know what? That's not enough. God wants us to reflect that glory here. While we're living on earth, the life of Jesus Christ must be reflected in us, in our world. The world is looking for this. When you are in Christ, you have this new life in you. It's a new life. It's not a reconditioned life. It's a brand new life. Let it affect your nature. The longer you stay, you know, sometimes when we speak about these things in church like this, you feel like, you've been, cranked and, oh my goodness, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. It's like that light shining in your eyes. But the moment we leave this place, we go out there where the real world exists, our image begins to fade. You begin to look at yourself in the light of the world's description. Where you live, where you come from, the color of your skin, the color of your eyes, the suit you are wearing, the shoes, whether they are worn out or they are still there. And you begin to look at ourselves in those. Now, things that can dent your image, that cast darkness on the real image. Temptation is one of them. Trial is one of them. When we begin to go through these things, we begin to get. When we're together like this, all is fine. But when we leave, it's like, things are not okay. But I want to let you know, if you hang around with God long enough, if you hang around with the word of God long enough, if you meditate upon the word of God long enough, you begin to change your thinking. As you begin to see yourself in the light of the word of God, your thinking gets affected. How many people? Say this to your neighbor. Say this. I'm a spirit. I have a soul that lives in the body. The moment you begin to look at yourself, at your spirit life, as a new life in Christ, begin to look at it, it begins to affect your soul. Because as you read the word of God, when you read the word of God, it goes into your mind. It begins to replace the concept, because the mind is a product of the soul, it's part of the soul. You've got your intellect, you've got your emotions. They are all part of the soul. They are there. But as you know, a soul is fed by what we see. It's fed by senses. What we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we smell, it goes there. But as you begin to change, how many people know that senses can mislead you? A pilot who does not know how to use instruments, only knows how to use senses, guess what? It's a matter of time. He's going to crush you in a mountain. Because that thing is made in such a way that even when the first time I was in a plane, it was, when it goes like this, I was straight. But the only thing I saw was it's like the earth. We are actually flying at the hill of a mountain. There is a mountain. I said, hey, this mountain is just close here. Because that thing is made in such a way that when it does like this, you are there, you're stable. Senses tell me that thing is stable. But I looked outside at the wings. The wings are like this. I said, So it's not the earth. It's not the mountain. This thing has gone like this. But I've remained straight. So you depend to your senses. It's the best way to destroy yourself. A pilot uses instruments. The weather might be bad, but the guy is going to land safely. The weather may be invisible. The guy is going to take off easily. Because there are instruments that guide him. But let me tell you, you and I, we don't move by senses. We move by what the word of God says. Hallelujah. That's who you are. If you hang long enough to that word, digest it. You know, he says, I watch over my word to perform it. And he says, the word that proceeds from my mouth will not return to me void. It shall accomplish the purpose for which it is intended. And the book of James, he says, you know, the word of God is like a mirror. There are some people that will stand in front of a mirror and look at themselves. Oh, you know, this, some guys, some characters, some years back, some missionaries came to Africa and found our ignorance. One of our kings, one of our chiefs, they had big land. The guy came and looked at him and said, what would this man need the most? I said, let's surprise him with something I'd never seen. I said, beer? Okay, he drinks beer. We bring him beer, he says thanks. And clothes. One day, they brought a mirror. The guy just went. That time, Africa had not yet started producing mirrors. And the guy brought a mirror. And he gave it to the king. And the king looked in the mirror. He saw an image. He does like that. The one in the mirror also does like that. He does like this. The one in the mirror also does like this. And then he turns it back. There was nothing. There's just a black paint here. He said, what's this? Nothing. He did like that. Nothing. He looks at the man and says, you are a man. You brought this thing. He's able to show me the image. He was, and he says, you know what? What do you want? I can give you half of my kingdom. Sometimes ignorance. Can you sell the land for a piece of mirror? But you know why? The guy was able to look at himself in the mirror. If the king could sell all that just for that thing. We need to invest here. This is our mirror. This one will tell you who you are and who you are not. Can I quickly run into this thing and close it? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Seeing yourself as Christ is. You are born of God. You have the right standing with God. You are loved by God. You are the salt and the light of the world. The world is looking for a person like you and me to influence it. Sometimes those we are calling role models are not role models. The role model is here. Role model is Jesus Christ. Role model is you. You go out there and influence your world. Let your marriage be a model to people that say, wow, I've never seen anything like this. You may go hungry. You may not have a lot. But let the love of God define you. In Ephesians chapter 1, several verses, you just read the whole chapter. Apostle Paul says, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We are chosen of God. Before the foundation of the world, we are predestined to adoption as sons. We are redeemed through the blood. Apostle Paul says, we are alive together with Christ. We are raised up with Christ, seated with him in the heavenly places, saved by grace. We are his workmanship. This is what you are not. Listen to what you are not. You are not dead in trespass as long as you are in Christ. You are not dead in trespass and sin. You're not walking according to the prince of the power of this world. You are not walking according to the prince of the power of the air. You are not walking according to the spirit that is now in the sons of disobedience. You are not living in the lust of the flesh and of the mind. You are not by nature a child of wrath. Say this with me. I have peace with God. I am accepted by God. I am a child of God. I am dwelt by the Holy Spirit. I have accepted God's wisdom. I am helped by God. I am reconciled to God. I have no condemnation. I am justified. I have his righteousness. I am his representative. I am completely forgiven. I have my needs met. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the Holy Spirit reveals all these things to us. That's why he's very important to all of us. Our knowledge is by the Spirit of God. Knowing about ourselves will cause us not to be led. See, God has forgiven you and I. God has removed the condemnation. The only person that can condemn you is your heart. 1 John 3:21 says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us," 1 John 3:21, "if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God." Hallelujah. How did Jesus Christ live on earth? If you want to know about yourself, just see the life of Jesus Christ, you know. He says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, this is what he says: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You know, Jesus Christ came to do some work. He did not just come to show us that he was a child of God. The following are the things that Jesus Christ came to do. Number one, he came to reveal the Father in John 17:25 up to 26. Number two, just write, he came to do the will of our Father, John 4:34. Number three, he came to seek that which was lost, Luke 19, chapter 9 up to 10. Number four, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Number five, he came to reconcile man to God. He came to reconcile you and me to God. By reconciling, after the first service, I was with one of our renowned judges that has been seconded into Nairobi, this AU staff. She just came from Nairobi and said, she said, "You know, Pastor William, I came at the right time. The message you're talking about is what I needed to hear. When I was in Zambia, I took everything for granted. See the peace, the unity, the love that the Zambians have, I took it for granted. But where I am, where you see to get a job, you have to get it from a person of your tribe. For you to get favor, it has to come from a person that is of your same tribe. Where now, people are crying for reconciliation, but here in Zambia, 73 tribes, we live as brothers and sisters. That's why even when we talk of reconciliation, sometimes it doesn't make sense. But I want to let you know that you have been reconciled to God." In the reconciliation, this is what Jesus Christ came to do. In reconciling you and me to God, he did certain things. He restored your image. You have got the glory of God in you. When God looks at you, he sees his glory. In reconciling you to God, Jesus Christ was restoring you, was restoring a relationship that the Father is supposed to have with you. So you have a relationship with your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. In restoring you and me, Jesus Christ was restoring the authority. How many people know? Jesus Christ said, "I give you authority to trample on scorpions." You know that you've got authority to overcome sin? You've got authority. Hallelujah. No, I was tempted. The Bible says he gives a way of escape, isn't it? Oh no, I was under tribulation. What does he say? He said, in this world, there will be what? Tribulation, isn't it? But do what? Be of good cheer. I've already taken care of that. So the excuses we give are cheap. Go out there and reveal the grace of God is upon you. Not only has God reconciled us. Here's the thing. Not only has he reconciled us. Get what he has done. He has committed into us the ministry of reconciliation. Can you go and reconcile with your husband today? Can you go and reconcile with your wife today? It is from God. He's reconciled us to himself. He's committed that ministry to us. We can go out there and make reconciliation. and preach the good news to the lost. The world is looking for people that can bring hope. The world is looking for the people that can declare and show love. The world is looking for the people whose marriages are stable so that they can come and say, hey, what makes a difference in your life? And you have been given the right to do so in this world. In your world, can you go and reveal Christ? Can you go and manifest? He came to reveal the Father. Hallelujah. I thank God. I want to leave this earth. When I leave, I want somebody to say, that brother touched my life. I want to leave this world. No, you don't need to come here and preach. Your life needs to speak a language that the world can understand. Your character, your nature, because the nature in you is inconsistent with the nature of the world. Since the world is looking for a new life, they will see it, it will show. It's not the kind of, there was a few days, a few years ago, there was an advert, advertising about TV license in one of our media in the country. I said, when will you pay? It will show. And then, over the short period, what was showing was not worth paying for. And then there was a change. Thank God for our media. I want a media that reports objectively, that gives us what is real. That's not the case. But with you, when you are a new creature, it will show. Hallelujah. He did not just change the plugs and thing of fitting them on the old engine block, giving a new coat of paint to look like a Christian. He removed the spirit, which was against the will of God, and put a new. Keith Green sang a song, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Can it be your prayer today? Let's pray. Hallelujah. You know, new life attracts. New life inspires others. New life overcomes. New life is by faith in Christ. New life is from God, revealed by the Holy Spirit. New life points to heaven and eternal glory. New life comes by accepting Jesus. Father, we thank you. You have recreated us. The Spirit in us can relate with you, and when we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit bears witness that we are your children. We thank you, Lord, that you have removed the old nature. You've given us a new nature in Christ. Before I close, if you are here, you are saying, hey, Pastor, as for me, that woman says, even if we are young in age, but we are old because we have old nature. But we are here, you saying, Pastor, I want to leave the old nature. I want to be born again. I want this nature of God to be mine. I want to walk in confidence with God without fear. I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're here. Could you please raise your hand? I want to pray with you. You want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to die in sin. You don't want to walk this place the same way you came. You're giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please raise your hand wherever you are. I'm going to pray with you. Where are you? Is anyone going to give their life to the Lord today? Is a miracle happening in someone's life today? If you're here, just put your hand up. I'm going to pray with you. Is anybody here like that? Anybody here? If nobody, and some of you say, you know, Pastor, my image has been dented by so many things I've been passing through. Sometimes I even find it difficult to believe whether I'm a child of God because of what I've been doing, what I've been involved with. But today, I want to clear my picture. I want to clear my image. I want the word of God to define. Okay, there was somebody who raised their hand. Okay, thank you for that hand. I'm going to make an altar call later. You are here. Hallelujah. Say, I want my image to be restored. I want Pastor you to pray with me. Can you raise your hand wherever you are? I want to make amends. Thank you for that hand, my sister. I want to make amends. Thank you for the other hand there. I haven't been walking the way I should. Today I'm giving my life. I'm rededicating my life to Jesus Christ. Anybody else? Can you raise your hand just where you are? Thank you for that hand, sir. Another hand. Thank you for that hand over there. It's going to join this. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Say it's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to put your hand as a means of surrender. Who else can follow this? Say, I'm not leaving this place the same way I came. Thank you for the other hand. Put those hands down. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Put it down, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Put it down, sir. Thank you. Could we please rise? Could we please rise? In the name of Jesus. Before I just make a prayer for all these hands that have been made. There was one that raised a hand for salvation. You want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you please come to the front and meet me here? I want to pray with you before I pray for the rest. That one who raised the hand to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, please come to the front here. Where are you? Come, I pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. There was one man of God, preached at a crusade for a number of days. Made an altar call, no one was showing up. And then the last day he made an altar call, and the young man stood up and came and gave their life to the Lord. I was frustrated because only the one young man came to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest were okay. He was frustrated because only one man. But over the years, that young man turned out to be Billy Graham. He's touched millions and millions. May your life be an instrument the Lord will use to touch women in this nation, to touch your peers in this city. May the Lord use you across the borders of this nation and be a model for Jesus Christ. As new life begin in you today, may you be a shining example to all the young ladies in this nation. Can you raise your hands up? Church, join me. Please raise your hands, church. Say this after me. Close your eyes and just, Father God, I come before you just as I am. I realize I am a sinner. I have sinned big time, but today I've heard the message of hope. I'm answering to your invitation today. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the sins I've committed. Today, I put my life in your hands. Let the old go. Give me your new life. Give me your spirit. Today, I've committed my life to you. I will never serve the devil again. I'll be your instrument. I'll be your child. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for writing my name in the book of life in heaven. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.